We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
My name's Ruth and I'm an alcoholic. And it's good to be here. Oof. But most of all, it's good to be sober and in this meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I like to welcome the new ones to Alcoholics Anonymous. Welcome to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous works, and it works good. And the only reason tonight I know it works good is, number one, I'm standing up here sober, and I got some friends sitting out here sober, so I know this thing works. But I'd like to thank the committee. Let me do a little kissing up before I... I want to thank my friend Jeff for asking me in the committee for, wonderful dinners, and for that I'm grateful because I didn't have to pay for it. Okay. And I want to thank my AA sister Joan for tolerating me. So the program newcomer, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous works. And the reason that I share to the new ones, because I always figured the rest of us should know. Because the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says this to me, that I must tell you a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and how I live today. And oh, thank God, it says in a general way. Believe me, newcomer, that saves you up here. Woo. So the story I'm telling you tonight is as nice as I can get it for you. I call it cleaning it up a bit. Because you see, very early in my life, I was a rebel from the word get. Wait a minute, I got to do one thing before I continue. Do I look like shit on there? No. Oh, I look like crap. Thank you, sweetheart. He's trying to keep me up here, so he said I looked okay. Yeah. So like I said, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm going to clean it up as best I can. Because you see, very early in my life, I was a rebel from the word get. I was one of these type kids. If my mother told me to go south, I immediately turned around and went north without even thinking about it. And I guess I had a pretty typical mom that used to sit home and she preached pretty typical things to her daughters, and this one did. She used to say things like, be a nice girl. Go to school and study. When you get of age, you marry a nice guy and you move off to the suburbs and bake cookies. Yuck! Now that didn't sound interesting to me at all at the age of 11 years old. Now I was born and raised in East Los Angeles. And I'm here to tell you tonight that East Los Angeles didn't have a damn thing to do with my drinking. It's the way that I drank that got me to Alcoholics Anonymous. But to show you how slick I ran most of my life, I didn't know East Los Angeles was a ghetto until I was in my 30s. And there's days I still question it, but that's okay too. But at this early age, I used to go home and I used to watch gangster movies on TV. And I got obsessed. I got a homie I see out there. Huh? I got obsessed with watching gangster movies on TV. So I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to grow up and become a gangster because, you see, it sounded more interesting than baking cookies in the suburbs, right? Now, they didn't have no good old gangsters like they had on that TV, but I picked me the closest thing that I can find to it at this time. I joined my first gang at the age of 11 years old. And the initiation to that gang that day was we had to drink a fifth of white port and lemon juice. Now, hold on. We're getting ready to identify any minute now. That stuff burnt going down, and it burnt coming back up again. But I chug a lug till it stayed down. Now, I don't know what happened to anybody else that day that was being initiated, but I do know what happened to me. Between the top and the bottom of that bottle, I fell in love. Now, I didn't fall in love with, gee, what a cute bottle this is in, or I like the color of this stuff. I fell in love with what it did in my gut. You see, knew when it filled that big hole that I had right smack in the middle of my gut, and it filled up all my fears, and it filled up all my insecurities. And I stood up straighter, and I looked at the gal next to me, and I said this: where are we going, and who are we going with? Because I was ready to live. Now, I wasn't a daily drinker at this time, and I hadn't even discovered those morning drinks. I was one of these Friday, Saturday, and Sunday drinker, and whenever I can get my hands on it. Now, I've had a few people ask me dumb questions. Even in Alcoholics Anonymous, they've asked me a few dumb questions. And this usually falls around the Kansas area. Jesus. Bless them. Some little nice lady will slip up to me and say something like, how did you acquire alcohol at the age of 11 years old? So go to California, they'll tell you. Yeah. Yeah. I said, very simple. I stood on corners by liquor stores and I hit on people going in and out of there. And eventually somebody's going to come by and buy you a bottle. But you know, knew when I even had a bad day then. Somebody would come by and rip me off for my booze or my money. And with all my heart, to this very night, I believe it was alcoholics that did that to me. Had to be. I'm keeping my eye on you right now, Bill. So if any of you been in the East Los Angeles area some many years back and ripped off an 11-year-old kid, you can make amends to me after this meeting's over. And I've gotten a few, but I gotta acknowledge this before I go on, because my friend Bill sits in my home group. My home group is the Tuesday noon Colton group. Bill likes to call them water walkers, because they're, oh Jesus. It's like 30 years you're a newcomer in that group. And I love it. And my sobriety date is 12/26/1972. Yeah. And for you newcomers that can't add that fast yet, that's 34 years. And I'm running with this gang. And I had an odd sister born into this family. But I got to share you this before I start on her. My sister has never only been in one meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous since I've been sober. And she was at my 11th birthday. And my sister has never heard me share. And she's sitting in this meeting tonight. Yeah. Yeah, right there. Now, she'll probably never speak to me again, but after I finally got a relationship, now I'm going to blow it out the window. But typical alcoholic, right? Odd sister born in there. Used to claim to my mom they gave us the wrong baby. And the reason I thought she was the wrong baby, because she was such a nice kid. She went to school and studied. Oh, she got A's on her report card. And she went to mass twice on Sundays. And she had a very soft, gentle voice. Not like mine. But I never forgot when she came home with her husband-to-be. And they're sitting in our living room couch. And at this particular time, I come strolling in with my hip, slick, cool self. I used to say I was so cool out there, I almost froze to death by the time I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. But anyway, I come strolling through this living room, and this guy is sitting in our living room couch with a crew cut on his head, a pair of Ivy League pants on, and white shoes. White shoes. Nobody in East LA wore white shoes. I believe he was from San Diego. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. But I remember I grabbed him. They're already engaged. I grabbed this poor sister, hollered a bit, and I give her my famous lecture. Are you crazy? You're going to marry this guy and move out to the suburbs and be miserable for the rest of your life? Now, she got a strange look on her face that she got every time she talked to me. Well, thank God she didn't listen to me. Because to this very night right now, she's still out in them suburbs baking those cookies. Woo. Now, no way, shape, form did Ruth want to screw her life up like my sister had. So I went on as running as hard and as fast as I can run now, Newen. And again, it took me some years in Alcoholics Anonymous to figure out who in the hell I was running from all those years. You see, Newen, I was running from me all those years. I never, ever wanted me to catch up with me. It was too painful. So I was always very busy with my finger pointed out at everybody else. His fault, their fault, down the line I can go. But it was never my fault. So I went on a hell of a run. Around the age of 18 years old, my friends started marrying off. And I didn't want to be left out. So I looked around the neighborhood. And I found me the hippest, slickest, coolest guy and get to marry me at the time. And me and him, we're going to go low riding off into the sunset. Forever. For my other friends, it was por vida. Did you get that? I'm trying to get the interpreter. Now, unfortunately, 3 months of marriage, and this man was screaming. And he was screaming about things I didn't understand. He started talking about, when are you going to wash? When are you going to cook? Then his next words completely, totally threw me, and we were done. He said, you don't drink like a lady. And I said, well, how do ladies drink? He says, ladies drink out of a glass. Crap. I needed this information, right? Not out of a bottle like you do. And you see, Nguyen, he didn't understand. Anytime I uncapped the bottle, I always drank for relief. And I wanted relief quick, and I wanted as fast as I can get it down there. Now, I know there's going to be a few of you in this room tonight that might identify with a couple of drunks I'll talk about. You know those drunks that we come to the next day and we ask dumb questions before we learn not to ask the dumb questions? And we might say something like this. Does anybody know where we left the car? Yeah. Huh. Does anybody know why I have this black eye? See, some of you been there, huh? And this one was my favorite. Did we have fun last night? Yeah. Remember those, son, Joni. Newcomer. If you identified with any of those, welcome to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're home. See, I thought that was normal drinking. Abnormal drinking to me was people who sipped. And you've seen them. My sister's a sipper. This is what she'll do.
Ooh, I don't like it.
Or this is the other statement.
I've had enough.
Newcomer, if any of that pisses you off, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. You're home. But I continued. And that marriage dissolved and dissolved real quickly after this, but I had one son. And I'm here to tell you tonight that I love my son, and I love my son like a mother loves a child. And I held that small one to me, and I said in that hospital, everything in the world there is to give, I'm going to try to give it to you. And newcomer, I met that. But you see, I didn't know. I did not know I was afflicted with the disease of alcoholism, and that I would get progressively worse. I always thought I would get better. My famous cries throughout my life till I came through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous went like this. Tomorrow, remember those? I'm gonna get myself together and everything's gonna be okay tomorrow. Every one of those tomorrows got me here. And my next famous cry went like this. If they would only just leave me alone and let me drink. I don't want their information. You know how they give you information? Now you can tell this is further back. Okay. They used to give you information like, eat a cube of butter. And it will coat the lining of your stomach. Yeah, remember that crap? Oh, God. Or drink olive oil. Yeah, it will coat your stomach and you can drink more. Now, when they say the magic word, drink more, we try it. It's a mess, newcomer. It don't work. You will really throw those clothes out. But I continued. I met another man that passed through my life, and God, was this guy cool. Looked like he was in the state of rigor mortis. He didn't move. But I don't know about you, but I like that style. Stone out of it. I said, oh, I love him. So I took the living with this guy. And I found out one thing real quick about him. He wasn't cool in the morning. He was real nervous and twitchy, and his nose ran a lot. And he'd jam into the bathroom. When he came out of the bathroom, he was cool. Now, it didn't take Ruth too long to figure out that whatever he had in the bathroom, I wanted some. Now, you heard me when I stood up here tonight, you heard me say, my name is Ruth, and I'm an alcoholic, period. Covers everything. Covers every nutcase inside of here. Covers it. No disrespect, and you know, I've tried for years, oh my God, literally years, to tear this part of my story out of there. And me and God go toe to toe sometimes. I tell him, you know, it's Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, we ought to be able to kind of cut that out of there. And he says, no, no, no. Part of your story. Leave it in there. I don't care how much you don't like to do it, but this is a part of it. So the story I'm going to tell for a couple of minutes might piss some of you off, but oh well. Nothing we can do about it, because it's God's deal, not mine. Blame him. So I went in that bathroom, sat on the bathroom floor, and took a fix of heroin with this guy. Now again tonight, like I said, I wish I can tell you Ruthie's not going to like that run. Not going to like smash you through the lies I will smash through. Not going to like the feelings of desperation that are going to run deep inside of me. Do know what it is to be desperate out there. But most of all, I'm not going to like those things called self-hatred. Because you see, new one, the more I hate me, the more I hate each and every one of you. And that hate started to run deep inside of me. And I ran hard. Now, they kind of frown on robberies even in East L.A. Now. So I started to be going in and out and in and out and in and out and a few more in and outs and a couple of more in and out of jails. Now, I don't know what anybody in this room tonight feels about jail, but I can give my honest feelings tonight about that place. Because there was many times, they didn't have too much recovery stuff in those days. But anyway, they used to come to haul me away, and I wanted to kiss them and tell them, what took you so long to get me this time? because I knew it was the only place on earth that I would go get physically cleaned up, get myself back together, get back on the streets, and start this mess all over again. Oh, geez, in and out, in and out. But dear God, don't let me forget the last part. What happened? Told you about what it was like. Now I'll tell you about what happened. In and out. They had sent me to a place called CRC, the California Rehabilitation Center in Narco, to rehabilitate me for the second time. And while I was in that institution, I hurt somebody pretty badly, and I'm not proud. And one of the things they didn't tolerate in that institution was violent people, and I was very violent. So they shipped me from that institution, and they shipped me to a place called CIW, the Women's State Penitentiary. And in the state penitentiary, they have a place to put incorrigible smart mouths like me. And it's a place called Deep Six. And they put you in that hole called Deep Six until you can become a model prisoner. I call it breaking your spirit. Until you can become a model prisoner, and then they can put you back in the prison population. And after a period of time, they had to let me back into prison population. And after a period of time, they had to parole me. Soon as I got into L.A., I completely, totally, totally swore off that I'll never do that kind of stuff again, ever, ever. So as soon as I got into L.A., I walked into the nearest bar. I went to go and say hello to my best friend that I'd known for years. And I sat on that bar stool, and I ordered me one drink. What's one drink going to do to me? As long as I don't do anything else, I should be okay. That drink went down, and it started to do the thing it always had done for me. I started to sit up a little straighter. By the fourth or the fifth, I was instant wonderful. Alcohol did not leave my life till I came through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I used to stand up to people at this time, and I used to tell them, you see this bottle? This bottle's my friend. It's the only friend I got in the whole wide world. You are not my friend. This is my friend. And alcohol did not leave from me. And it was around this time, and I claimed to this very night, and I still claim it to this very night, that my family made a big mistake. Biggest mistake they ever made. Because you see, my mom got too old to take care of my children. So my mom sent my children home. All five of them. But unfortunately, she sent them home to a full-blown alcoholic. And most of you in this room tonight, I don't got to tell you the conditions those children had to live in. Because there was no, let's take them to birthday parties or none of that kind of stuff. This mother drank. And she made 6 o'clock runs, and she came to and passed out. And I don't know what those children did. But in those blurs of me coming to, I remember picking them up and rocking them and telling them, tomorrow I'm going to get myself together and everything's going to be okay. I'll buy you a new pair of shoes or I'll take you to Disneyland. Never happened. Because if I was in between going up and down, the enraged monster would come out. And now those children were the recipients of this war that I was fighting.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the Month Club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
And it was around this time, and I believe it with all my heart, I still believe it up until this very night, that God stepped into my life and he did for me what I couldn't do for my own self, because the events started to happen. And the first event that happened is my daughter. It was either kindergarten or the first grade. I'm still not too sure because I was blackout drunk. literally failed that grade due to emotional problems. And the teacher in that class, God bless her, picked up that something must be wrong in her home. So she called in the authorities, and they came with court orders in a very early morning and started to haul my children away. And this maniac mother ran out into the driveway as they started to haul those children away, all five of them, they're hauling them away. My oldest boy, which was probably around 11 years old at the time, was looking out the back window of that car. And I've seen many looks out there. And if you're an alcoholic, you know what kind of looks I'm talking about, because boy, have we seen them many times. We've seen them in the judge's eyes. We've seen them in the family's eyes. We've seen them in the parents' eyes, and on and on. But when I saw that look in my boy's eyes, I wanted to die. Sometime later, they hauled me to another kind of courtroom, and I've been in plenty of courtrooms. But I had never been in a child custody courtroom. And this judge went through my jacket. And he went from 11 years old up to 32 years old and looked down on me and said this: "A woman like you should have never borne no children. And we will see to it for the remainder of your life. You never see your children again." And they were gone towards the court. And knew when I knew what it was to feel rotten, no good, zero, over and out. And I left that courtroom and I decided to drink myself to death. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you, newcomer, alcoholism is a slow, painful disease. Shit. Crap. It don't even kill you fast enough. And I went home and I drank and I drank and I drank. And I couldn't get sober and I couldn't get drunk. And now my best friend stopped working. Stopped. I said, "Oh, jeez." So it's not killing me. So I decided I have to speed it up a bit. So I go into this dirty bathroom to blow my head off. Took me a long time to tell you this story, too. And I held this gun to my head as I'm in this dirty bathroom. Don't ask me why I carried. I carried a gun out of whoever was going to get me. I was going to try to get them first. Jesus, insanity. So I'm holding this gun to my head, and the funniest thought went through my head as I held that gun. How am I going to look in my coffin with a big hole in my head? Drop that baby. I didn't have a friend in the world. God bless my family. They cut out away from me. I even say this loud and clear today. If there would have been one more person I could have used, abused, manipulated, jive, or connive, I might not have made it to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But fortunate for me, I burned them all out. And then I was able to get to you. But anyway, I'm in that dirty bathroom and I dropped this gun. And I screamed the next best thing I can think of. Because alcohol now had kicked the hell out of me. I had a terrible fight with alcohol and I lost. So I screamed to this power that I used to go to once in a while when I was in a real bad jam. Some of you might remember that higher power. You know the one you'll sneak up in the corner to when nobody's around and not looking? And you go, "Get me out of this one and I'll never do it again." That's the one I went to in that bathroom. I scream, "Help me. Now, this power moved very strangely with me because I was pretty strange. Some nights later, some people ventured over too drunk to drive. So I drove. And I ended up back in the county jail for women on the first and only at that time called 502. And when I got physically healthy and I was laying on a bunk one night, over the intercom in that county jail, they announced, AA in the dining room. Now, with all that wisdom I had learned from the streets, and I was pretty streetwise then, not today, I poked a bunkie of mine and said, what the hell is American Airlines doing in this place? And with all her wisdom, she said, I don't know. God love her. So we went to American Airlines because we figured they must be hitting rock bottom for stewardesses, right? And we definitely need a job. Yeah. I didn't tell you that for a long time either. And four nice ladies dressed up. We're in the front with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know what they were talking about. They were talking a strange language. But I remember poking her and saying, are you nuts? They're not going to let us in that organization. You're out of your mind. Those ladies got their nails done, their hair done. Are you crazy? Yeah, they're going to want somebody from East LA in their... Forget it. So we left there with good intentions. Not going to get drunk like that. Going to do it on my own because I could do it on my own. 3 months later, it was a disaster. Gotta watch the interpreter. So living with a mattress on the floor. Viva la raza across the ceiling. Got it? She did it. Yeah. Right on, sister. And the landlord had offered me $100 to move out as soon as possible. Things were looking up. I had money coming. When God bless that gal I jailed with, God love her, somewhere during that meeting, she caught, you can make a phone call to Alcoholics Anonymous. So she phoned. God bless them. Two people came down on what we call a 12-step call. And they didn't come one time. They came night after night after night. Looking with their clear eyes, they're going... toting us off to these funny meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what happened, new one? My finger came out again. And it used to go through the group. Look at that one. That one's so old, he ought to stop drinking. And God bless my old home group. They tolerated me. From a distance, they used to say, keep coming back. And I did. Not then, but later, that girl that made the call, she chose to die, and I chose to live. She died 8 years later, but not in vain I lived. But little by little, I'm sitting in the back of your rooms, scoffing, of course. I stuck around newcomer this tiny close for the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous to happen for me. I am not the miracle. The miracle is Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the miracle here. I was sitting far back in your meeting when God put a beautiful man up here to share, one of my Eskimos. And this man started to share, and he shared a thing in Alcoholics Anonymous called the language of the heart, even before the book came out, but he shared it. One drunk talking to another drunk. And that night, that drunk sang my song. He didn't know it. God knew it. And that night, I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Maybe there is a slim chance for someone like me to make Alcoholics Anonymous. Slim. And in my group and in my time, they talked that thing, oh, my God, called complete abstinence. I don't know what that does to you, but that tore the hell out of me. Nothing. I said, I thought you said this was Alcoholics Anonymous. I can, you know, something. You know, take the edge off of you. Nothing. Mm-mm. I went home that night, did the hardest thing I ever did in my whole life, knowing I got rid of everything. Everything gone. Came back the next night with my head spinning 150 miles an hour. Hands dripping wet. You know how we go like this before we pray. And turned myself in. I sentenced myself at first. It's the only way I could do one day at a time. But I finally got my hand up to identify as an alcoholic that night. Thank God they didn't make you stand at that time. But I got my little hand up. And you guys got little funny ways of finding little short hands. And you found my little short hand. I identified as an alcoholic that night. And I have not found it necessary since that night to take a drink or anything chemical introduced. And all that's owed to a loving higher power in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous. So little by little, and inch by inch, I started to grow. Then one day I did real strange things, like smile. Then one day I was sitting in a meeting and I busted out laughing and haven't stopped laughing since. I call it healing. Then one day God decided, not me, that I needed a funny thing called a sponsor. And my first sponsor walked right up to me and said, I'm your sponsor. Scared the hell out of me. I didn't know you could say no. Thank God, huh? And then they pound strange things at you like these sponsors do. Like read the book. And you take the 12 steps to the best of your own ability and you apply them to your life because the name of the game for you, little lady, is your attitude changes or you die. It's that simple. I always used to say, if your sponsor pisses you off, you must have the right sponsor. Huh, Joan? Me and Joanie know we have the same sponsor. We have a cute little sponsor. People love her. She's adorable. She's loved in Alcoholics Anonymous. Then you asked her to be your sponsor. things change. Tiny little cute thing. Loves to tell you, I think you should write an inventory. And at that time, not now, she used to live in Blythe, and then she would tell you things like, and I want you in Blythe Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. 4 hours up, 4 hours back. You talk about any length of stay or crap. And I'm totally grateful for that kind of sponsorship. I still have that same kind of sponsorship to this very day. But let me tell you how that growth started. Then one day I was 2 years sober, 2 years new one. And I got a phone call one night after a meeting. And they said, hey, we've been keeping an eye on you. And I said, that's okay today, you can do that. They said, no, you don't understand. We're going to return your children. All five of them. Holy crap. At the same time. To this day, I still think they brought me some that weren't mine. Because I was looking. I mean, whole line of them. Well, thank God for sponsorship, because I tore to that sponsor's house. And gave my sponsor my tale of woe. How I couldn't do it. Are you crazy? I don't know what is a parent. My sister knows how to be a parent. But anyway, little by little, the sponsor did listen to me, and after I'm all done, you know how they are. They punch you between the eyes with something, and that is called reality. And the sponsor said, now you take everything you've gathered in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you take a chapter called The Family Afterwards. And you take it home with you, because isn't it so easy to work Alcoholics Anonymous during meetings? Go home and want to kill the family. And the sponsor pounding, take it home, take it home, take it home. So little by little and inch by inch, we started to grow as a family. And my love for Al-Anon is because I used to run my children off to Alateen, and at that time, Alitot. And if there would have been a doggy, it would have been doggy tot, right? And little by little, this family started to grow. Started to grow. Then one day, God decided to throw some more at us. He made us move to the suburbs. I was pissed. I didn't get to hear the ghetto bird. I'll explain that to you. You know, a lot of people have national flowers and national birds. East LA has a national bird. We call it the ghetto bird. It's a helicopter, a police helicopter. Called the ghetto bird. And there was no ghetto birds in suburbia. It was quiet. I was like, crap, I'm going to go out of my mind here. So little by little and inch by inch, we started to grow as a family. I'm going to show you. I don't know why tonight, but I guess I have to. God wants me to. I'm going to show you how I got de-hipped in Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in suburbia. My two daughters came to me one night. And they said, Mom, we like to join the Girl Scouts. Oh. I said, oh, why not? So I took them down. I bought them the strangest looking green uniforms you ever laid eyes on. Then when I got them home, this is what they laid on me. Now we need a Girl Scout leader in our school. Now my first reaction to those children was, no, that's dead. What if somebody sees me, right? Now, you got to be cautious with children that get around Alcoholics Anonymous. If you have children and you don't plan to stay here, don't bring them. Don't bring them. Don't. Because they catch things in the meetings real quick. Then they take it home with them and they use it. So they threw it back at me. Oh, Mom, you can do it one day at a time. So there I went for 2 more years up and down mountains with, 40 giggling Girl Scouts, junior troop, Jesus. But I never forgot my first camp out. We're camped out in the mountains and little girls got funny ways of sitting up in tents and asking strange questions. And this little girl did. She shakes me awake. And she goes, "Miss Sanchez, do you realize that this is the first time in my life I've ever been camping?" I looked at that kid and I said, "No shit." This is the first time in my life I've ever been camping. You guys know where I camped at. And I was learning to live because the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says we'll get back in the mainstream of life and we'll learn to live one day at a time out there. So little by little, like I said, and because time is going to run short, I'm going to pull you up to today. How I live today. 180 degree turnaround. Completely opposite of what I shared with you earlier. I walk with the dignity of a lady and I know peace inside of my gut. And I had looked for that in the bottom of a bottle and couldn't find it. And I walk with this dignity and peace and I know love in my heart. And I found it in rooms like this. I found my God as I understand God right in your eyes. Right in the corner of your eyes, I found my God. A little gleam and a twinkle in your eye comes about right here. And that's how I found my God, is right in the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous in your eyes. And I started to walk straight and strong. Because time is short, I'm going to show you the difference with that family. The oldest boy, the one that looked out the back window of that car, served in the armed forces in Germany for a while. And while he was in Germany, he wrote to me on the back of a picture, and I call it forgiveness. And on the back of that picture, he wrote, "Thank you for teaching me right from wrong. Thank you for the years we have been reunited as a family. But most of all, give my thanks to the people in Alcoholics Anonymous for giving you back to us again." And I cried. Yeah. Because I knew it took each and every one of you, from the ones that set up the literature to open the doors, the coffee makers, okay, for this mom to go home and raise her family in dignity. And that's what you gave me the honor to do. And now I've been able to have the privilege to raise all 5 of those children up to young womanhood and young manhood. And don't ask me why tonight. I don't know why not one of those kids get loaded. Maybe they sit around here too long. I don't know. Okay. I've had people ask me, "Don't you look for the ism?" I said, "Hell no, I don't look for nothing." Right? If I see them falling down drunk, I'll give them a pamphlet, right? Yeah. My oldest boy now lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I call him Pillars of the Community. And he's a city councilman and sits on the city council. And that's quite a gift. And all of them now, I'm the proud grandmother of 17 of them, right? Yeah. My kids didn't mess around. They were bringing them in twins. Two at a time. And I love being a grandma. I love it. You know why? I get to kiss them. I get to hug them. About 10 minutes worth, okay? And then I send them home. And real quickly, because time is short, I'm going to tell you that prayer that means a lot to me. And it's that great prayer called, God grant me the serenity. I keep the 12 steps. I keep you guys close to me. I am in contact on a daily basis with members of Alcoholics Anonymous, like a family, close. Not too far. My network is large and strong around me, okay? And that's why my foundation stays strong in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love being sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's because of people like you that kept our doors open. But this prayer means a lot to me. And this is what it says to me. It saves me on a daily basis. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I cannot change people, places, nor things to fit me. Hell, it won't go. I tried for years. And the courage to change the things that I can. My own self, newcomer, my own self. Inside job on me. And the wisdom to know the difference. I want to thank the committee. I want to thank each and every one of you for tolerating me. Thank you. God bless.
Hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.